Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Hey, I'm juiced up and ready to go. It is, what is today? Thursday. Couldn't decide. Oh, yeah, the draft was last night. It is Thursday, June 26, 2025. Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate you. It is John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please, if you're watching on one of the other places, platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, X at John Lund Radio, any of those other places, come on over to YouTube and hang out with us. Got a great chat room, got a great group of people that hang out every day, and we just shoot the breeze, talk some sports, have some fun, a few laughs here and there. So come on over. Make sure you subscribe. Please hit that like button so the algorithm likes the show, and we'll recommend it to others, and we can grow the community. If you have those alerts on, we send stuff out through the day. That would be amazing. Also, if you see that big B in the corner and you're new around here, that's called the Bay Area Sports Collective. That is my show on YouTube, as well as Tom Tolbert, Polymax Particles, which is Polymax, formerly the KNBR Morning Show, along with Creative Tony. It also means Rod Brooks and Quality Hang, Amy G, Amy Gutierrez, and the great Jeremy Affeldt. So you get all of those shows and put those alerts on and make sure you hit up the Bay Area Sports Collective as well. So thank you for hanging out on this Thursday edition of the show. You got the chalkboard there. Again, if you're new around here, it's episode 176. We got a ton of stuff to do from the Giants and that weird ninth inning send. And I got a reason why Matt Williams did it. It's probably not going to satisfy you, but I'll tell you why. Duvall blows up. He is always a roller coaster ride, and with his great stuff, it drives you crazy watching him. Birdsong today, I think that's a very big start. I say that every time because he's got to solidify that three spot in the rotation, especially with Justin Verlander struggling and having traded away in the Devers move any major league pitching depth that they had in Harrison and Hicks. Not that you love that, but that was the pitching depth that they had. NBA draft last night, NBA versus NFL draft coverage. I just cannot believe the same company, the same entity that gives us such a great NFL draft gives us such a brutal NBA draft. And a lot of it is just because Screamin' A is up there. And I've told you this many, many times. I don't want them adjacent to real games, to real events. If you want to scream and yell during the day when I'm not watching and don't have to watch, that's fine. But I'd like to watch the draft. I'd like to watch the NBA finals. I'd like to watch a halftime show where someone's not screaming and yelling over everybody and doesn't know shit. I mean, is that too much to ask? I get it, man. You're blurring the lines all the time between entertainment, credibility, sports, you know, all those kind of things. I mean, it's certainly in line, and we all want those clicks, and we all want people to tune in, and we all want to do those things. But a guy screaming at me when I choose not to watch him during the day, and then you make him part of the NBA draft and part of the NBA finals and everything, got to stop. It's got to stop. And people have to start speaking out because I, you know, decided for years that I just wasn't going to give him part of my forum or my stage. But I think what needs to happen is everybody just needs to call him out because everybody I know can't stand him. And I've said this many times. I respect the fact that he's making $20 million and he's figured out his niche. And that's the kind of media that we're in nowadays. I don't agree with it, but that's where we are. So it's cool. And he's at the top of it, but it doesn't mean that everybody, you know, like I said, I talk about this all the time. Like there's certain artists in music who make tons of money and I'm like, who listens to them? Cause everybody says they don't. And they roll up their window and they listen and they like it and everything like that. Like, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I saw what she did at Tight End University and everything. It's not that I don't think she's talented. It's just her music is not for me, and that's fine. It can be for somebody else. But if I don't want to listen, I don't have to listen. That's my choice. But ESPN shoves it down your throat because they're paying him so much money, and it's so bad. And he doesn't know what he's talking about anymore in the NBA, let alone they spread him so thinly on all these different things that they want him to do, NFL and all that. He doesn't know anything about anything anymore because he's spread so thin, let alone – when a bunch of kids are in college and one and done, and it's hard unless you really put the work in like Jay Billis does or some of these guys or Shams does a great job in reporting. Now, there's some people that do a nice job for them, but there's just too many people on the panel. Kendrick Perkins is not doing deep dives into college players. Screamin' A. Smith does 19 shows a day. He doesn't have time. Other than Cooper Flagg, he didn't know any of the players. And so and he's screaming and yelling about, you know, Phoenix, what the hell do you know? You don't know what they're doing. You have no idea what the kid from Duke, the center that they took, is going to be. Like, it's just, like, you can't be screaming and yelling when you don't even know what these kids are going to do. Most of them are 17, 18, 19 years old, one and doneers. You don't know what they're going to do. I mean, even Cooper Flagg at the top at Duke. It looks like he's going to be really good, and lots of people are talking about it. He can fall on his face. It happens all the time. It's happened tons of times, especially with Duke players. A lot of them have been great through the years, but there was a guy named Christian Laettner and Danny Ferry and lots of, you know, you don't know. And the guy's just screaming and yelling and pounding his fist, and it's like, man, could I just get some just normal analysis here? Sorry to go on a tangent to start the show, but my God, man, they do such a good job with the NFL draft and such a shit job with the NBA draft, and I can't believe it's the same company. It's unreal to me. But anyway, that's besides the point. Kuminga's got some Miami rumors that we'll get to. I agree with Kevin Durant for the first time in maybe ever. Random stuff, Caboose, all those things coming up on episode 176 of the show. Before we get out to the roll call and everybody hanging out today, which I very much appreciate, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, right there. If you click on that QR code, I tell you this every single day, but I'm telling you, you got to do it. You want to feel better. My wife, her shoulder, her elbow, her foot, she's had all sorts of problems with it over the years. She would ice every day. We're sitting there watching TV, Netflix, whatever, and she's over there on the other side of the couch icing and all this stuff, and I'm looking at her, shaking my head. And since she's gone to Dr. Riopel, she's done a couple of procedures on both. They're very simple. She's feeling amazing. I tell you this all the time. Trips we go on, she walks around and just is like, Dr. Riopel is saving me. She really says that. And then I do the low T stuff, which is absolutely great. I go in, get a quick blood test, and then they go, okay, this is the level you need to be at, and you feel better. You feel it right away, too. You feel better. Your metabolism is faster. You're just back to your old self. It's just a great thing. So a couple of procedures that I always tell you about, and you click on that QR code, and that'll just take you straight through to the website. But the other thing is, all you have to do is look them up. If you didn't hit the QR code, Riopel is R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. And just make sure that you tell him I sent you over, and he will treat you extra special. But you got to take care of it. And they do all sorts of other things, not just the two procedures I talk about. Men, women, they make you feel better, look better. So check out Dr. Jeffrey Riopel, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Google it. All right, let's say hello to everybody this morning before we get into everything. By the way, I had an awesome family dinner last night. Just an incredible family dinner in the city last night. I had a great time. Although, everyone knows, if you're in the city, oh, freeze my ass off last night, but it was nice. It was worth it. Hello, Bebop Jones. Woo! Nice to see you. JJ Raider is here this morning. The Nutter. Very nice. Good morning, Dom. You are the best. Perry, good morning. It's nice to see you again this morning. Antonio Valve, what's up, man? Who else do we have in here today? John Joseph is here today. AJ, it's nice to see you, man. It's very nice to see AJ Cruz. I hadn't seen you in a while, but I like that avatar, dude. Very nice to see you. Very cool. Enrique, good to see you. Bucko Sports, good morning to you. Happy Thursday to everybody. Kenny Smith. Every day, Kenny's coming something on the Giants. Maybe this version of the San Francisco Giants can play better on the road. Yeah, let's hope so. Something has got to change here. And we're almost to the midway point. They're 80 games into the season. So tomorrow we will do the, everybody has to do this, like the midway point. I don't know if we'll do awards or anything like that, but let's just discuss the midway point of the season. And I do have some updates there. Yes, please do hit the like button. That would be absolutely amazing. Thank you very much for that. Hello, Pine Needle. Good morning, my friend, to you. It is nice to see you. We already got a super in the house today. I will make sure that we read that momentarily. Jake, I said good morning. Who else do we have? Lost Crew, it is nice to see you again, my friend. So lots of people in the room. If I did not hit you up, I will make sure that I do at some point before I get to the chalkboard. We already have our first super on the board, which is awesome. It's a great way that you can support the show, and I really appreciate it. Paying the bills. By the way, the young son in, I was talking about him last night with somebody, in the Cape League. So yeah, he's still got to eat. So I appreciate any contributions you make to the show. If you want to get your questions, comments, thoughts, 100% guaranteed on the show, all you got to do is hit me with a super, just like Tommy Huxley did. Trade Duvall, DFA Walker, fire Pearl immediately. I love that you're coming hard today, man. Yeah, we will discuss, Tommy. That was a frustrating game to watch. And, you know, we said this before the series started. It's going to get tough. And so you got to take advantage of the Marlins and the White Sox and the Arizona's reeling. And you got to take advantage of these teams. You know, over 162 games, we're not going to play that game, you know, like we do with the 49ers. They get 17 games, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. But you look at stretches, And you look at this 13-game stretch, and I said this at the beginning of it, you got to go like 10-3. Nice math, Lund. You got to go 10-3, 11-2. Like, you really got to dominate, because then it's the Phillies and the Dodgers and the Mets, and it's going to get tough. And knowing the Giants, they'll stink in this portion, and they'll play really well against those teams. Who knows? But it's this is the part of the schedule that you have to take advantage of. The fish want to roll over. They want to be like a dead fish. But if they stay in games, then you give them confidence, then they'll just kind of hang around. And that's what they've been doing in the first couple of games. And last night was extremely frustrating. And I understand, and we're going to play this for you, the Matt Williams stuff. And thank you, Tommy. Much appreciated. We'll get into this. Let's start it now, episode 176. So the Giants lose to the Fish, so they have officially lost this series because there's only one more. And math tells me that if you win the first two of a three-game series, you win the series. So let's go with that. Let me play the Matt Williams thing, and then we shall discuss. So this was last night in the ninth inning. Bob Melvin afterwards said, we're trying to win a game. But, man, you've got to know Matt Williams has got to know the position of the left fielder, which was very close. They had him pulled in, made a nice throw. Probably the scouting report was he doesn't have a very good arm, but he did in that regard because he was so close and playing so close in. The ball was hit sharply. But I get it, because before we play this, you see that runners in scoring position right there, RISP on the chalkboard, 8-for-59, 136 over the last eight games. So Matt Williams in the back of his mind, first of all, he was shocked that Patrick Bailey got a hit. He's like, oh my God, Patrick Bailey got a hit? Oh, so I think that sent him into shock. Jung-Hoo Lee, he's thinking, okay, maybe he's the fastest player on this team. Let's give it a shot, because if he scores, we put the pressure on the left field to make a good throw. Catcher to field the ball. What the heck? Let's just go for it, because we don't hit with runners in scoring position. And I'm completely shocked that Patrick Bailey got a hit. Now, having said that, I'm going to play this for you. And the left fielder is basically playing deep shortstop. You can't send him there. And the biggest reason you can't send him there is, I get it, 8-for-136 with runners in scoring position. There was one out. Matt Williams, there was one out. You're a Giants legend. Doesn't let you off the hook. You're a Marine. People like you. I get it. There was one out. Jung-Hoo Lee would have been on third base. It wouldn't even have taken a hit to win the game. You can't send him there. And he was out by 50 feet.
And a base hit. Matt Williams is going to wave him in. Here's the throw home. And he got him.
And as you can see here, let's go back for a second where the throw ends up. Let's go a couple of things here. Okay. I'm going to stop. Okay, so see where the ball, I mean, he beats him by a mile. We all know that. He beats him by a freaking mile. It's a joke. And where the left fielder was located, like I said, he was like deep shortstop, right? And the throw's not even good, but he beats him by so much. It's probably a little more. See where the ball, see, that's where he catches it. I mean, Jung-Hoo Lee actually didn't do a bad job in trying to avoid the tag. And I get it. You're 8-for-136, all this kind of stuff. Here's Matt Williams up here going, oh, shit, I screwed up. I mean, the ball beats him by a mile. That's a long way to beat a runner in Major League Baseball. And he has so much time that he takes a bad throw that's off the plate and is able to move and easily get Jung-Hoo Lee. So just brutal all the way around.
And he got him.
Yeah, and Lee tried. But you know this before the pitch is even thrown. Let me go back here. See where the left fielder is right there? You know where he is. He's tight. He's charging the ball. Look where Jung-Hoo Lee is. Matt Williams right there. That's the key decision point right there for Matt Williams. The player has the ball. The player's playing very shallow in left field. I get it. You want to win the game. I get it. You're hitting 136 over your last eight games with runners in scoring position. There's one out. You don't have to send him there. I get it. If there's two outs, maybe I still wouldn't, because you can see that's the point. That's his view right there, and he's down the line, as you can see. He's not standing in the box. He's down the line. So the left fielder has the ball at this point. Jung-Hoo Lee is just past halfway. He's not even close to third base yet. There's no way with one out you're sending him. And look, nobody's perfect. Nobody's saying that Matt Williams has to be perfect. But my God, man, that's brutal. That's brutal. So anyway, there's the send. I got a picture of it that probably illustrates it a little bit better. I mean, there's where he catches the ball right there. That's how badly he got beat. Jung-Hoo Lee's fast, too. I mean, that just tells you. I mean, Jung-Hoo Lee's fast. And he had a nice slide. I mean, that was a good slide. He tried to get away from it. It was a good throw, not a great throw. It was a hard throw. It was a nice throw. It was just offline. And Jung-Hoo Lee at this point is going, oh, shit, what do I do? and he tries to get around it, and he does about as good of a job as you can. So I get it. It's 4-4. It's the ninth inning. You're excited, probably shocked that Patrick Bailey got a hit, so you're not thinking in your right mind, but you know where the left fielder is positioned. What I'm doing right now is very, very simple. It's hindsight. I understand that. But as you can see on the board right there, the outs say one. One out. You need a sac fly to win the game. You can't make that mistake. Professional baseball, can't make that mistake. No way. No how. That's just, you know, if he gets thrown out, if he's, okay, so he's here. If he's here, you're like, okay, that was close. This is too, no way. I mean, there's just no way. So anyway, poor judgment, Matt Williams, but I get it because right now they're just desperate. They're in a funk right now. They're desperate. It's not the whole reason that they lost. Logan Webb was good, not great. I mean, by his standards, he was very, very good. And it's always a shame when he doesn't get enough. He gave up, what, 2 earned in 6 innings? He was good. We expect every time that Logan Webb pitches that he's great. He was good. The bullpen had a particularly rare off night. Let me hit the share screen with you, and we'll look at the box score real quick, which is always tons of fun. Let's see. There, we got it right there. So there's your box score. Lots and lots of fun. So Webb, good. Very good. 6 strikeouts over 6 innings. What else can he do? You know, walk 3. That's uncharacteristic. Rodriguez does. Tyler Rogers never gives up runs. 1.69 ERA. Nice. He gives up 2 earned. That's unusual. Eric Miller, I don't even know what to say. Coming into the season, I think Miller was great, but he's in 0.99. And then Camilo Duvall over his last 2 has given up 5 earned runs. The 2 walks are concerning. Obviously, you know, he gives up 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 bases on balls, which I know this is overly simplistic, and you and I talk about it all the time. And look, Duvall can be hot. Duvall can be cold. He just, and I don't know what they need to say to him. I guess at this point he is what he is, but he falls in love with that slider so much. And I know it's not as simple as blowing, you know, 101, 102 by somebody, but when you have that in your back pocket and you can elevate it, and most players in this league cannot hit a ball that's elevated. I don't even care if they know it's coming. An elevated fastball that's coming 101, 102 miles an hour. It's just, you're not going to hit that ball. You're just not. And he just falls in love with the slider so many times and gets beat with it. And you sit on your couch and scream at your TV. Because logically, it doesn't make sense to me that a 102 mile an hour fastball is such a macho pitch. And if most people had it in their arsenal that played, they would fall in love with that. And the manager would have to come to the mound and go, remember, you have a slider, you have an off speed pitch. You know, make sure that you just aren't falling in love with, you know, 101, 102. Make sure, because that's what you'd want to do. It's like racing on the street, man. If you had a really fast car, it's hard not to put the pedal to the metal sometimes, right? You're like, oh, watch this. Now, just every once in a while. But it's just, it just logic tells me that if I had that in my arsenal, and most people did, it's a macho pitch. And you basically say, look, I'm not talking right down the middle. Major leaguers can time that. They can hit that. It's not just velocity. It's velocity with location. And when he's on, he can do that. And there's pitchers in this league, like Mason Miller of the A's, for example. And he's not having the year he had last year. He had a couple of rough outings, but he's still really good. But he just challenges his 102 up in the zone, and you can't hit it. And you've got to have off-speed pitches. You got to have everything like that. But Duvall drives you crazy because he'll just lose release point or whatever the case may be, but he always goes back to the slider, and he'd rather fool somebody than just macho man throw 102 up in the zone and say, you can't hit this. But that's what he does. And then he gets too cute, starts walking guys, and blah, 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 and we see what happens. Sean Gelly still hasn't said anything, right? Am I missing anything there? Sean Gelly still hasn't said an official statement. His first statement was, I don't have a statement. And then he hasn't had a statement since then. So even though he's wearing the orange and black, there was some disgruntled folks. And look, he's not very good anyway. I'm one of those people that looks at situations like that and says, hey, let's let you cool off for a minute. We've got enough distractions on this team. Let's not have you be a distraction right now. That's what I would do, but I could be wrong. The other story is, and let's hit on this because I never thought I'd say this. Casey Schmidt, who they need to play second base at some point because Christian Koss was out there again. It's just atrocious. And I showed you the, I'm not going to do it again, but yesterday we did this whole thing of OPS by position in Major League Baseball. And I showed that to you, and they're last at catcher. They're third to last or second to last at first base. They're fourth to last, I think, at second base. I mean, it's just, it's, you know, they're good in at third base with Chapman. They're good in left field. I think Ramos, I think they're number one in left field, if I'm not wrong. They're middle of the pack as far as center is concerned, like Jung Hoo Lee. It's an interesting thing to look at. But when they get Chapman back, and we're hearing some good news on Chapman, and Schmidt moves to second, hopefully Schmidt can continue to be that kind of player, give him a good glove. Tyler Fitzgerald resets, comes back maybe with the Giants as a super U. We'll get into the midway point of the season. I don't want to come across every day as I'm down on these guys, because right now they're tied for the third spot in the wild card. And if you had told me halfway through the season, and you tell me, chat line's wide open, of course, and put your comments underneath the show or hit me up at John Lund Radio. If you're a Giants fan and I'd have told you halfway through the season, which after today's game, they will be halfway through the season, that they would be the third wild card at this point, you'd have taken it in a heartbeat. They have issues, there's no doubt. They traded for Rafael Devers. He's going to come around at some point. I think he's hitting like 188 as a Giant, but it's an extremely small sample size. I'm not going to freak out over that. He's going to be fine. He's a hitter, hitter's hit. So I'm not overly worried about that. But for example, here's where we are right now, almost to the midway point of the season. So 44-36, quick math tells me that's 80 games. So some teams, obviously like the Mets, they're at the midway. We'll do this tomorrow. At 3-7, lost their last two. I get all those kind of things. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. They're starting to pull away from the Giants. They were close for a minute. They got a series coming up. Hopefully that they can cut into that a little bit. But let's just assume what we've assumed all season long for the most part, which is they're going to be a wild card team. All right, Dodgers 5 up on them, playing good baseball. They've won 3 straight. Cubs are legit. Phillies legit. So now you're looking at Mets. They're legit. That's a playoff team. Milwaukee, they just do it with mirrors every single season. They lose somebody, no big deal. They lose another guy, no big deal. They're not going to be, you know, like, oh, can we get Rhys Hoskins? Well, first of all, they got Devers. They'll be fine. But Milwaukee's not going to be a seller. They're going to be a buyer. Padres are hanging around. They've gone through a little bit of a rough stretch lately. And so you're sitting here right now going, okay, 3 wild card teams. You're tied with the Padres right now for the third wild card. If you'd have told me at the beginning of the season they were 44-36, even though they've been scuffling a little bit lately and there's been some injuries and so forth, that they'd be 44-36. Let's say they win today. Could they get one from the fish? Let's say they're 45-36, 9 over at the midway point of the season. You take that all day, every day. You know, there's disappointments. We'll get into this tomorrow. There's disappointments like Willy Adames, but then you get a Devers, and it shows that Buster Posey has the ear of ownership to say, hey, you know, they make a trade. It looks lopsided in their favor. Devers is going to come around and hit. They needed a bat. They may need another bat. They're going to try Casey Schmidt at second base, but we've got a little over a month now. Today is what, the 27th? So we've got till the 31st of July, and I would not be surprised whatsoever if Buster Posey, not to the level of Devers, but Buster Posey is able to shake a few more coins loose and they look at some of these spots. It even might be a rotation spot. You know, if Birdsong again comes out today and is struggling and Roop is up and down and Verlander hasn't been good at all, you've got 2 solid starters on this team and you might need another veteran. Who knows? That could be a spot they need. Second base is certainly glaring at this point. I keep mentioning right field, but Yastrzemski's kind of holding his own. But look, if there was a bat that they could get for very little, they could play right field, and then Mike Yastrzemski's not an everyday guy. Like, I don't need to see Mike Yastrzemski against left-handers. He's had a nice offensive season by his standards, and he's always solid defensively. So I've kind of piped down a little bit on that one because now second base is kind of rearing its ugly head. It's gone from first base being an issue to second base being an issue, but they need a stick. They're going to need another stick on this team. And as great as Devers is going to be for this team when he gets fully adjusted, they've got to get another stick. And if you look at runs scored, I was looking at this morning. They're about middle of the pack. Remember at the beginning of the season, they were like, looking pretty good. But in the National League, I show you, look at their runs scored, which is 339. So all those teams obviously are beating them. 339, they're ahead. Padres a little less, which is surprising. But again, Cardinals, which over the last few years, they haven't had a good offense. All of a sudden, they do. Reds have more runs. Obviously, D-backs have more runs. You're looking at Atlanta's really struggled to score, but that's about this, you know, similar 332 to 339. And then you just got the bad teams in the league. Marlins, Nationals have a few more. Look at these teams. Oh my God. How can Colorado have 284 runs scored and play in the ballpark that they do? Unbelievably bad. 284 runs scored and you play in Colorado. Like, that is brutal. But anyway, back to the Giants. Look, I'll take it. If they can win today, they're 45-36. They're right in the wild card chase. Buster Posey got Devers. He's going to be better. I believe in the pitching. I still think, even though the starting pitching isn't as deep and they, you know, they don't have the, with Harris being gone, with Hicks being gone, they don't have the depth that they had at the beginning of the season. You're easily going to trade that for Devers because you need a bat. They probably need another one before the deadline. Not to that level, but they probably need another one before the deadline. So that's the story on the Giants. But give me your thoughts on that. Give me your thoughts on the Giants and how you feel about them as we're approaching. We won't do that as a full show today, but it was, we're approaching the midway point of the season. Duvall, I mentioned, 3 earned runs, 2 base on balls, his last 2 appearances, 5 earned runs for Duvall. That's just what he is. And they don't have a choice. The big thing about the bullpen is, and Rogers gave up some runs last night, and that's just not normally what he is and what he does. He'll be fine. I haven't lost any confidence in the bullpen. That's going to happen throughout a season. And we've learned this for many years with closers for the Giants. That's just what happens. It's a roller coaster ride. Not a lot of closers in this league are just open, shut. They're kind of weird in the head and all these kind of things. And we just got to hold our breath on Duvall because there isn't a Ryan Walker, unless you think Rodriguez could be a closer this year. And he's got, definitely got the stuff to do it. But Ryan Walker is scuffling to a point. Duvall's a roller coaster ride. Randy Rodriguez has had the opportunity to close games. I like him. I like him a lot. But I'd much rather see this bullpen stabilize itself and have something to the effect of Walker in the 7th, Rodriguez in the 8th, and in the 9th, Duvall, or put Rogers in there in one of those places, not as the closer. But they've got enough arms in the bullpen. Duvall is what he is. If you haven't learned by now that he's a roller coaster ride, that's on you. That's what it is. Yeah, I agree with you. Rodriguez isn't ready to be the closer yet. Now, when he did close to in his defense, it was in Colorado where he had the struggle, and it's tough to pitch in Colorado. So, you know, I don't know fully if Rodriguez could. I think the organization looks at it as kind of a pecking order kind of a thing. And when you honestly have, at some point, you have 4 guys that could close games. Rodgers could close games. Rodriguez could close games. Duvall could close games. Walker's got to get his head back on. He could close games. The bullpen's not going to be the problem. They've got to make sure they've got 2 solid starters. Birdsong today, it's a huge start for him. They have got to solidify the 3 spot. And then most teams' rotations, 4, it's like, and then 5 is a total crapshoot. And that's what Verlander is. He's a crapshoot. And at some point, I would imagine this year, we're going to start seeing some of the organizational depth and what they think of their starting pitching, because they're not going to be able to get through the season with what they have as far as starters go. And they trade, the only downside, and I don't even think it's a big downside, the only downside of the Devers trade is no Harrison, no Hicks as far as rotational depth. You don't have that. And so they must have some confidence in the guys they have. Or, like I said, there's going to be these aren't hard to acquire and they don't cost you much. Around the deadline, there'll be 4 or 5 starters available and it won't cost very much. And they're probably being like last year's of their deals, because that's what 4 and 5 starters sign for a year or two. You don't want that, you know, long-term. Let's see if they can plug a hole here. So, you know, if there's somebody who's having a decent season, that's like a 4 or 5 type of a starter, you can acquire that. At the deadline, there's 2 things that are easy to acquire or easier to acquire: bullpen help and back end of the rotation starters. It's really hard to get top end starters. It's really hard to get the Devers type of bats. Like Buster Posey said, that took a long time. You know, that they worked on that for like a month to be like, okay, let's work it. Let's work it. Let's work it. Let's work it. You know, a lot of things around now is they're starting to work the deadline. And if you look at the Giants right now, second base is a black hole. They're going to have to address that, at least one more stick on this team, and not to the level of Devers. They've got to watch that staff. They may need a back end of the rotation type of a guy, unless they feel really strongly about somebody in the minors. And they may. There's a couple of guys down there that are really having good years. So we'll see what that goes. And they wouldn't have traded. Hicks was a financial move, don't get me wrong, because he had $30 million left on that deal. But they also had to think to themselves, okay, that's gonna rob us all of our rotational depth. Do we have somebody in the minors that we could rely on? So they must think they do. So there's that. So a stick, someone in the back end of the rotation, that's not bad. Because normally you go into a Giants deadline going, God, they need a Devers type. You know, they need that kind of a bat. They may need a high-end starter. They don't. They need a back-end solid rotation guy that can take the ball as like their four, and then Roop and Verlander can fight for the five. That's what would be really nice. Is it a Birdsong has a nice game today, starts to go back on the upside, and Birdsong, as you and I have talked about over the last few of his starts, he's rolling, wheels fall off, like in one batter. And all of a sudden, like last time out, wasn't it like it was hard double, home run, single that almost took his head off, like boom, 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 three in a row, and then he never recovered. I think he retired like the first seven or something like that, and then it was heart rocket double, bomb of a home run, and a single right back at him that almost took his head off. It was like, whoa, and he never got it back. Like I tell you all the time, like my golf game, it's like, yep, you hit one into the woods, you never get it back. That's what he's been doing the last couple of starts. So he's got to shake that. They could get a bullpen depth, or excuse me, a rotation depth arm, and then the perfect scenario would be then Verlander and Roop battle for that fifth spot, and the bullpen picks it up and is back to what it normally does, and Devers starts hitting. That's what they need to get going on. And yeah, Casey Schmidt, it looks like it'd be fine. I never thought in my life that I'd be like, please let Casey Schmidt be okay. But I don't want to see Christian Kosh at second base when Chapman does return. So there's that. All right, give me any kind of thoughts. You got questions, comments, thoughts on baseball and the Giants. One thing that I wanted to discuss before we get into the NBA draft and all that stuff, Larry Bear was on a local radio station and said Barry Bonds is going to get a statue at Oracle Park. You know, media confuses me sometimes. This isn't breaking news. We've talked about this for years. Of course, Barry Bonds is getting a park or getting a statue. Larry Bears told me that personally. I've heard that from numerous people and within the organization. I guess it's new to some people, so it's being like locally and nationally. It's saying Barry Bonds is going to get a statue. That wasn't news. That isn't news. I've said this on the radio before many times. The Giants aren't stupid, and they're maybe one of the best marketing groups in all of professional sports. The Giants are not going to give Barry Bonds a statue when they're playing well. It's not what they do. They're smarter than that. What they'll do is when the team is shitty and they need a great promotional opportunity, which the Giants are at the top of the list when it comes to great promotional opportunities and taking advantage of them, then they'll do a statue. Then it'll be a Barry, oh, having a down year. We got to have that Barry Bonds statue thing going on. And that's what they do. So then they, you know, you go out to the ballpark, they ramp up to it. They bring a bunch of players. This isn't just a one night thing. They do a bunch of stuff. You know, they're not dumb. Like if you're on pace, I don't know what the pace is for the Giants right now, but they're on pace to win probably high 80s, low 90s kind of a game or kind of a season. Like that's a pretty good season. They're staying within the wild card chase. People are going to go to the ballpark. They're a decently entertaining team. That they're not going to break out a Barry Bonds statue in the middle of that. Now, if they win, you know, if they go sub 500 and win, you know, go what 73 and 89 that year, you're going to see a Barry Bonds statue because they need it. That's what they do. They're smart. They're just marketing wise. They're like, we're not going to put up a Barry Bonds statue when we've already got people coming to the ballpark. You know, that's why, like, if you think of it as like how companies are, think about a bar. Do bars do promotions on Friday and Saturday nights? Of course they don't. Do they do happy hour on the weekend? Of course they don't, because people are already coming in and drinking. Happy hours are Monday through Thursday for a lot of places, or Sunday through Thursday, I should say, because people aren't coming in. Like promotions are run by companies at slow times, right? I just thought of a bar. That's probably not the best one, but that's just what they do, is they do it in slow times. They don't do it. They don't do it when, you know, things are going great. And I get it. Yeah, I totally get that. Now you want to see right here. There's news out there. They're trying to help Barry build his image back. To be completely honest, and I like the Giants, it's embarrassing that they haven't done it before, to be completely honest with you, because during the process of him being elected to the Hall of Fame, we all backed Barry. I mean, and there's a small faction of fans who don't, and I understand that. But in the Bay Area, this was his safe haven. You know, we always defended Barry. I've defended Barry for years. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. There's guys who used in the Hall of Fame. There's bad guys in the Hall of Fame. There's racists in the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of really good guys. It's the Hall of the greatest baseball players. And so if I was a voter, I wouldn't even care. This morality clause and all this shit that they use to keep guys out, I don't care. Barry Bonds never got banned from baseball. So based on that, like, everyone's speculating, well, I didn't know he used. Okay. Well, he never got convicted of anything. He never got kicked out of baseball. He never got banned from anything. So what, you're judge, jury, and executioner to keep him out? So I've always defended Barry Bonds. And the organization has always seemingly stood by Barry Bonds. Then why doesn't he already have a statue? Like, why didn't you put the statue up to show your support for Barry Bonds when he was getting voted, when they was not getting voted into the Hall of Fame? Like, in other words, we're proud of Barry Bonds. We're putting a statue up right now. I mean, he's been gone long enough. There absolutely should be one. There's no question there should be one. Because if you support what he did, and look, it's in, here's the other thing that always drove me crazy. I hate to go back down this road because this is such an old conversation. But he's in the record books. He's not banned. He's never been banned. It's so it should be acknowledged. But for some reason, even the Giants haven't fully acknowledged it. Give him, I mean, if this was all on the up and up and there weren't any, there was nothing surrounding Barry Bonds in a negative sense, there'd be the statue would have been up 10 years ago. So why isn't it up now? You know, why hasn't it been up? I mean, it's, you allowed him to go all those years not getting voted into the Hall of Fame and not truly saying, look, here's a statue, we support him. They've never come out and said they didn't, but I mean, isn't it a no-brainer that the all-time home run king would have a statue? If there's statues at Oracle Park, and look, I'm not saying that Willie Mays shouldn't be number one and there shouldn't be a Willie Mays Plaza and there should, like, he's number one. Willie Mays, in my mind, is the greatest baseball player of all time. You can have your own list. You know me. As far as lists and Mount Rushmores, I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. I don't care. Your list is your list. Your greatest player is your greatest player. We're all sports fans here, and we can all have our own opinion. So when someone says, you know, so-and-so's list is this, or their Mount Rushmore is that, or they think the greatest point guard is, yeah, cool, man. That's your opinion. I don't get pissed about it. There's a lot of factors in that. Who did you see play? When did you grow up? Who, you know, where did you live? What team did you follow? All those different things influence what you do and who you think is the greatest. I think Willie Mays is the greatest. He should have the biggest, best statue in the biggest, best spot at Oracle Park, and he does. So I'm not saying that that should be removed and replaced. I'm just saying that if you truly 100% supported Barry Bonds as an organization, he'd already have a statue. He's the all-time home run king, and it's in the record books. There is no asterisk by it. There's nothing like that. There is in people's minds, but if you really were supporting him, that should have already been done. Like, this shouldn't even be a discussion, should it? I mean, you know, yeah, it's surrounding him, but from a legal standpoint, there's nothing stopping the Giants from doing it, and it should have already been done. But like I said, how they operate as an organization, and it's a great organization. They've been great to me. They're good. You know, I don't have any negative things to say about them, but the way that they market is when things are slow, you know, it's a Tuesday night at the bar, they're going to run a special, and the special is going to be a statue that every, you know, that they're going to use, not for that night. It's going to be the whole year. Like, okay, we're not going to be very good this year. It's going to be Barry Bonds' year. We're going to lead up to the statue thing. We're going to have a Barry bobblehead night. We're going to have, like, on different nights, different things. All Barry all the time. And that's what it's going to be. That's what they're going to plan. All Barry all the time. I don't know what's taking so long, but that's should have already done it. Anyway, we went down a Barry Bonds rabbit hole, which, my God, I do that all the time. Let's see. Good morning, too. By the way, a bunch of people jumping in the chat room. Let's see. What is this one? I don't know that I've seen you before. Beautiful cat. De Solera. Very nice. Very nice. Good to see you, Joji. It's really nice to see you this morning. Hello, Mark. I don't know if I've said hello to you. The 1420 Tuna Balm. That is awesome. Yeah, I agree with you 100%, by the way, and I've said this many times, not legit sports writers vote. The reason why it's, and again, I got a lot of respect for the sports writers and the people who are around the game all the time and the people that vote, and it's not an easy job. But there's the only thing I've ever said in regards to Barry Bonds, and then we can move on. There's a lot of bad guys in the Hall of Fame. There's racists in the Hall of Fame. There's murderers in the Hall of Fame. There's guys who took steroids in the Hall of Fame. You can't tell me that Ortiz didn't and Piazza didn't. And so what's the difference? Because Barry Bonds was the face of it all. You can't play judge, jury, and executioner. You can't play detective. You can't play all those things. I understand that there's morality clauses and all that kind of stuff. I don't care. to me, as a baseball writer, if I had a vote, and as a person who is, you know, it's hard because there's this fine line between what some of them think they're supposed to protect the game or something like that. But it's not a Hall of Fame without Pete Rose. It's not a Hall of Fame without Barry Bonds. Not a Hall of Fame without Roger Clemens. It's just not. It's just not. He's the all-time hit king. So, for example, Pete Rose, for example, and again, we're going down a big-time rabbit hole now. It was a lifetime ban. He's dead. The minute Pete Rose died, he should have went in the Hall of Fame. Lifetime ban. He has no more life. He's dead. He paid his debt to society. Murderers get off easier. He should have been in the Hall of Fame the next day. I don't remember the day he died, but if he died on a Sunday, he should have been in the Hall of Fame on a Monday. This is the way it goes. Oh, we have all this red tape. Don't give me that. He should have been in. Barry Bonds, I mean, it's like, what are you voting against? Well, David Ortiz was a really nice guy. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame. You know, he F-bombed on the field when they had the bombing, and everybody likes Big Poppy, and he's really funny and all that kind of stuff. He's in. Same thing happens in the NFL. Kurt Warner, he got into the Hall of Fame, no problem. Terrell Davis, you know, they were on TV. Why do you think Alex Rodriguez does TV? He doesn't like doing it. He's trying to curry favor with people. It's not working because everyone sees what an arrogant jackass he is, but still, that's why he's on TV. He's not on TV because he wants to be. He's got plenty of money. He's a part owner now of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, he doesn't need to be on TV. He doesn't need the money that he throws on the piles of money that he already has. He's an entrepreneur. He doesn't need to do that. He's trying to curry favor because he wants to be a Hall of Famer. And any of these guys who say they don't want to be in the Hall of Fame are completely full of it. Barry Bonds dedicates his entire and has dedicated his entire life to baseball. The ultimate individual honor, and he doesn't have the ultimate team honor, so the ultimate individual honor is the Hall of Fame. He's the all-time home run king. He wants to be in the Hall of Fame. But he says publicly it's no big deal to him, but you know it is. Same thing with Pete Rose, same, you know, all these guys. Clemens really doesn't talk about it. And I don't know, you can call it whatever you want. Like, a lot of people say, oh, you can't tell the story without this guy or that guy. Whatever. It's not really that complicated to me. I say this all the time. If I have to look up numbers of a guy, then he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I know that that's a pretty cut and dried approach, but I watch the games. You watch the games. I know what a Hall of Famer looks like. I don't even have to check the numbers. You know, I don't care how many home runs or wins or whatever Ohtani ends up with. Ohtani's a Hall of Famer. He could walk off a curb right now and get hit by a bus. Ohtani's a Hall of Famer. He was that great. I don't care how many years it's been. I don't. How long's Ohtani been in Major League Baseball? 7, 8 years? I think it was 17. It was his first year. So what are we looking at? 8 years, 9 years, whatever it is? Seven. He's a Hall of Famer. Leave right now. I know what one looks like. Ichiro, when he started hitting in Seattle, came over from Japan. I know he's in the Hall of Fame, but I'm like, you knew even 3, 4 years in, Hall of Famer. Like, you don't even have to look. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't care. You know, I hate to bring this up on the Dodgers, but like Freddie Freeman, Hall of Famer. I don't care. I don't know how many home runs he has. I don't know what his batting average and OPS and all that other crap is. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You know, Buster Posey. I don't care. I don't need to look at how many hits, what is batting average. I don't care. Buster Posey, 3 World Series. You know, amazing player. Hall of Famer. Like, I don't care. I don't need to look at any of the numbers. I know what a Hall of Famer is. So do you. So if I have to delve deep into a Craig Biggio or a Scott Rowland, I saw Scott Rowland's name up there or something like that. If I have to delve that deeply into the numbers, they're not a Hall of Famer. That's just how I think about it. And so you're going to have a Hall of Fame without Clemens, Bonds, and Rose. Right. Right. And they think that's some sort of a disservice, right? Some sort of a disservice to let those guys in. It's actually quite the opposite. Like, to not have those guys, 3 guys in the Hall of Fame, you don't have a legit Hall of Fame. That's just what it is. I don't know why people don't talk about it from that angle of you're basically saying that those 3 guys don't get in and you're claiming that this is the greatest players of all time when the 3 of the greatest aren't. I don't know where Clemens is on the list of great pitchers, probably top 5, certainly top 10. Bonds is in the top 5 of all-time players. And Pete Rose is the all-time hit king, and they're not in, and you have a Hall of Fame. Right, sure. Try to explain that to somebody who isn't into sports. So how's that baseball Hall of Fame work? Well, we got these guys and the greatest of all time. Is the all-time hit king in? No. Is the all-time home run king in? No. Is one of the greatest all-time pitchers in? No. Well, then how's it a Hall of Fame? Like, sometimes you need someone from outside of sports to just kind of give you, you know, common sense. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, that's just the way it is. Well, how come? I mean, there's no charges against the all-time home run king. Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of speculation. He did this, this, and this. Oh, okay. All right. All right, I'm done with it, I promise. All right, so episode 176, thanks for joining us on a Thursday edition of the show. Giants lose to the Fish. I misspelled Giants there. The ninth inning send by Matt Williams, we have discussed. One of the reasons he did that, I'm sure, but there was only one out, Matt. Runners in scoring position, and he was shocked that Patrick Bailey actually got a hit. 8 for 59, 136 in their last eight. Duvall, last two appearances, 5 earned runs last night, 3 earned, 2 walks. And a big start today for Mr. Hayden Birdsong. All right. Anything else on baseball? Guy brought that bonds up thing, and it was just like, pff, that took off. So, I'm finished with that one. I did not put that on board. That was a bonus rabbit hole that we just went down. All right, NBA draft last night. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know all these guys. I know Cooper Flagg. And the thing about Cooper Flagg, it's going to be interesting. And the only reason I bring this up is in respect to the Warriors. So, Oklahoma City just won the championship. They're better. Houston just got Kevin Durant. I believe they're better. That was a 7-game series, as was. Minnesota is going to be interesting. You didn't have Steph. Could you have won that series? Probably not. I said this yesterday. Denver's in a bit of flux. We'll see what they are. San Antonio just added another nice piece, but super young. I think they need a veteran, but they probably are ahead of the Warriors in the pecking order. Old guys versus young guys. We'll see. How does Victor Wembanyama come back? In his third year, does he take another leap? That's the big thing for San Antonio. But for some reason, I think they're going to be really good. And then last night in the draft, and we'll get to the coverage in just a second, I can't decide what Dallas is. So if Cooper Flagg is what everybody says he's supposed to be, then that's a pretty good team. Kyrie, Clay, Flagg, Davis, Derek Lively. And Clay will get a lot of open looks because no one's really going to be looking at him. They don't have a ton of depth on that team. As I'm looking at it, Gafford's a nice piece. Outside of that, P.J. Washington can be good at times. Christie's not a bad player from the Lakers. They got in the Luka deal. Not bad. Dinwiddie's okay. So they're okay. They'll probably bring back Dinwiddie. I wouldn't imagine. Dante Exum's had so many injuries. He was a top five pick. So anyway, that's what Dallas looks like. I don't know if they're better than the Warriors. I think that the size will be a problem, just like we always talk about. Davis and Lively are big. Cooper Flagg is 6'8". That's a pretty big team. So they could give the Warriors trouble. So I don't know if they're better than the Warriors at that point, but they're going to give them trouble just because of the matchups. And if Flagg is what he's supposed to be, then maybe Dallas is better as well. So that's one storyline from last night. And then let me play you Shams. There is a report that Miami is interested in Jonathan Kuminga, and that makes sense. Pat Riley is a toolsy, likes tools. He's into one of those guys. And so I could see Miami, after striking out on Durant, being interested in Jonathan Kuminga. Here is Shams last night for ESPN talking about Miami and their interest in Jonathan Kuminga.
Durant, the Miami Heat are remaining active. And when you look into free agency, one name to keep an eye on that I'm told they are expected to be a potential suitor for is Warriors restricted free agent Jonathan Kuminga. And the Warriors are comfortable potentially bringing Kuminga back in free agency, but they also are keeping an open mind as far as working through potential sign and trade.
All right, so I told you this yesterday. They're going to sign and trade Kuminga. They're not going to keep him because Kuminga would have to agree and they, you know, all that kind of stuff. And NBA players have power. Kuminga is not coming back to the Warriors. They're going to trade him for size. My question would be, and I've told you this before, this is like porn and crack, and it's kind of spun into one. These odds never mean anything. If you kept track of these, they wouldn't be accurate at all, but Vegas knows if they put that out, people will click on them. Got dummies like me will talk about it. So next team odds, Miami, the Nets, and that makes a lot of sense because they have no talent whatsoever. Bulls, Pistons, Hawks, Pacers, Suns, blah, blah, blah. Suns would make a lot of sense. They drafted two big centers. They need some athleticism on the wing, so that would make some sense. But with those teams that are so bad, like what could Phoenix give up, right? And I thought that this morning, too, about Miami. So I'm looking at Miami, and I'm looking at the roster. I'm going, well, what's Miami going to give up? Because remember, not only do you have to make – let me get this straight. Not only do you have to make, you know, get the players that you want, but the most important part is you got to make the salaries match. So how are the salaries going to match, all that kind of stuff. And there's one name that is on my mind, no, 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 and that is Andrew Wiggins. Some people were saying, oh, Andrew Wiggins could be that guy. I have postseason stats here. I don't want postseason stats. I want regular season stats for these guys. There we go. So if you look on down the line, you're not getting Tyler Hero for Kuminga. Wiggins' name comes up, and I'm like, please no.
Like Wiggins for trading Kuminga and getting back Wiggins. It's like, really? Like, I like Andrew Wiggins and everything like that. And I'm sorry for all the stuff that he had to go through with his dad and all the stuff off the court. And I'm sure it hurt him and all that good stuff. And he averaged 19 a game in Miami, which because they had nobody else. But please, no. No. That's not what you're looking for. If you're going to trade Kuminga, you got to get size. You're not going to get Bam Adebayo. Lots of people are speculating Adebayo would be a go. Adebayo, they can make salaries match, all that kind of stuff. He's elite. I mean, 18 points, 10 boards a game, really good defender, nice passer, averaging 4 dimes a game. You're not getting Bam Adebayo for Jonathan Kuminga. What I think is really funny about people is, and this is all fans, and myself included, is that they rip a guy for not being good enough, right? Now, Jonathan Kuminga stinks, man. They got to trade him. They got to get some size. Kuminga's never going to be anything. Da, 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 da. But then they want an elite player in return for him. So, for example, people bitch and moan about Kuminga and what Kuminga isn't, and then they speculate they could get Bam Adebayo for him. What? So you're saying you don't think that Kuminga's ever going to live up to his billing, but then you think that an executive like Pat Riley will give you Bam Adebayo for Jonathan Kuminga, and you don't think Kuminga's that good. Well, then why would the Heat do it? And like I tell you, when you do a trade, you got to look at the other team. Will it get the other executive fired? You trade Bam Adebayo for Jonathan Kuminga? I don't care if you're Pat Riley, you're fired. Like, no. So they're not trading Bam Adebayo for Jonathan Kuminga. Not happening. Duncan Robinson does nothing for me. A couple other young players. Davion Mitchell, the former King. Ware right here is not a bad player. I don't hate Ware. That would be, he's a 7-footer. That'd be kind of interesting. Jami Jaquez Jr. Had a really nice year. The second year player out of UCLA had a really nice year. His rookie year last year was not very good. He is not a shooter either. He shoots about 31% career from three. Haywood Highsmith again, not a shooter, wing type of player. Some people have speculated about him, but so. The guys that they might consider giving up, Jaquez, Highsmith, Ware's a nice player. Mitchell would probably be somebody that would be in there. Some of these players that we're talking about, they wouldn't even give up for Durant. So it's not like they're going to give him up. Adebayo's not a guy that you're going to get. Hero's not a guy that you're going to get. Those players are better than Kuminga. And Andrew Wiggins does nothing for me. Like, please, I don't want to see that confused look or deer in headlights thing and looking at him going, God, he scored 25 last night, but tonight he scored in 7. Like, I get it. He's a decent wing defender. He's a better shooter than Kuminga from the outside. But really, getting Wiggins back for Kuminga, that's going to bite you in the ass. So I have no interest in Wiggins whatsoever. And I heard that yesterday, not from any insiders, but just kind of people speculating like, okay, if Miami is going to want Kuminga, what can we get in return? And I think you could get Ware, the 7-footer, because you need to get some size. He's not a great shooter, but maybe he can improve. He's a young guy. A couple of young players like that. You're not going to get, I say this all the time. Like, people rip on Kuminga, and then they're like, can we get 3 number 1s and Bam Adebayo? It's like, no, you can't. That's not the way that trade's going to work. So anyway, give me your thoughts on Kuminga. There is some speculation that Miami, now that they struck out on Kevin Durant, there's a number of teams that they're talking about now because we're starting to see some guys, okay, we struck out on that guy. What everybody's waiting for, and this is the speculation around the league, what everybody's waiting for is to see what Giannis is going to do. And now that the draft is over, now that everything's officially kind of okay, now that's the next big domino. Does he stay in Milwaukee? Or does he go somewhere else? And then how does that do things? Because there's some teams sitting back saying, okay, let's just see. I'm not going to make a move. Like Miami, for example, is perfect. And I don't think Milwaukee would trade him to Miami. I just don't think they have the pieces to make it happen. Because if you're Miami, you don't want to trade Hero. You don't want to trade Adebayo. You want to have a big three of Adebayo, Hero, and Giannis. So you're Milwaukee and they're dangling something at you like like Wiggins, and you're going, that ain't going to do it, man. It's just not. So, I don't know if they have the pieces, but the point is that around the league, everyone's kind of waiting now for Giannis. He's the next thing. Okay, Durant gets traded. You have a draft. What's Giannis going to do? Now, logic tells me, and I don't know Giannis at all, but logic tells me Milwaukee's going nowhere. Damian Lillard has an Achilles. They're going nowhere. So what does Giannis want to do? Is he just hell-bent on saying, look, I'm a Milwaukee Buck. They're the ones who gave me a chance. I brought a championship here. I love the fans. I love blah, 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 blah. I want to be a one-team guy. Or does he start turning into a Kevin Durant, Mr. Skittles, who's the rainbow of colors of all the teams? And does he, you know, does he want to do that? Warriors fans have always speculated on Giannis. There's always been a thing where it's like he wants to play with Steph. And I tell you this all the time. You don't have to have the best deal anymore. You used to. People say that all the time. I don't know that the Warriors can have the best deal. I agree with you. If I'm the Bucks, Podziemski, Kuminga, couple of number one picks, whatever else you have to throw in to make the salaries match, that doesn't excite me very much if I'm Milwaukee. But here's the way it works in the NBA nowadays. Let's say Giannis wants out. He goes to Milwaukee and he says, look, man, I brought you a championship. We've had a lot of good years together. I want out. And oh, by the way, I want to go to Golden State. And with some players, Milwaukee would look in, or a team would look at a certain player and say, go pound sand, man. We're going to do the deal that makes the most sense to us. But the way that the NBA works now, especially with superstar players and one like Giannis, who has been very committed to the team, has brought a championship to Milwaukee for the first time since Lou Alcindor. I mean, I hate to say they owe him because they paid him. They don't owe him. But they're probably, this is how the league works. They're probably, if he wanted to go to a certain place, they would probably try to make it happen. Now, if it was just a totally ugly trade and the Warriors said, well, he wants to come here, so we'll give you Kuminga. We're not including Podziemski, one number one pick. Then Milwaukee would go to Giannis and go, we can't do that deal, man. It totally screws us. But if it's something close, I think he could get himself to Golden State, for example. Everyone speculated that for so long. I don't know, man. Like, if I'm Giannis, I'm looking at San Antonio. I've said this before. I'm looking at San Antonio going, okay, I got De'Aaron Fox. I got Victor. You know, a couple of those young players are going to stay. One or two of those young players and some picks are going to go. But that, to me, and Milwaukee likes it because they're sending him to the Western Conference. But that, to me, now you're cooking with gas. And could you imagine Giannis with San Antonio and Houston just traded for Durant and Oklahoma City just won a championship? If I'm the Warriors, I'm like, if I'm Joe Lacob going, you know what, I'm blowing it up now. I mean, what am I going to be, fourth, maybe fifth, sixth in the West, seventh, maybe, you know, maybe playing? I mean, I don't know, with this old team and what those teams are doing. It wouldn't shock me if he went to San Antonio, but that's what everybody's looking for next. What's Giannis going to do? And so everybody's kind of in this wait and see mode because, for example, Miami doesn't want to make a move for Jonathan Kuminga yet because what if Milwaukee puts Giannis on the market? And Milwaukee's like, look, Miami's like, look, we're going to put all our best assets into seeing what Giannis does. I think Kuminga will get moved after Giannis. So Giannis gets moved. Everyone says, okay, we didn't get KD. We didn't get Giannis. Let's move on to Kuminga. I think that's when he gets moved, at some point after that. Because I think a team's like, unless a team here is like, look, Giannis ain't coming to your team. Then they make a move like that and beat everybody to the punch. So anyway, that's the latest as far as that goes. NBA draft. NBA versus NFL coverage. I did a little bit of a rant on this at the beginning of the show just because I couldn't help it. And I've said this a few times now. First of all, I really like certain, I'm trying to put this in a very nice way. Bob Myers did a nice job last night. Malika Andrews does a nice job, except for one little glitch. But having Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins, who know nothing, nothing, nothing. If I'm Jay Billis, I want to leave the set. You know, if I'm anybody, any of those guys who are insiders, they do a nice job. And it's hard in the NBA draft because none of these guys are one and doneers. The guys coming over from Europe, all that kind of stuff. And you know that Screamin' A, as thinly spread as he is, because ESPN's trying to get him on his face on every little show, he just doesn't do the work on the NBA draft. It's difficult. And the same thing with Kendrick Perkins. He can't even pronounce Moses Moody. One of the easiest names, Moses Moody, Moody Moody, 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 Moody. He can't even do that. He doesn't know the players. And so you got these two guys on either end screaming at each other. And that's fine during the day. It's completely fine. You want to scream during the day when I don't have to watch? That's fine. But I want to watch the draft. I want to watch the NBA finals. And these guys are screaming and yelling and they don't know what they're talking about. And especially last night, it's just like, come on. And he's screaming about the Suns. You don't even know the Duke center. You've never even watched him play. Stop. My God, man. Meanwhile, Jay Billis is like, meh, I don't mind it. So anyway, this was the glitch, though, that everybody's going to be talking about, and I feel bad because as bad as that coverage is, Malika Andrews isn't part of the bad but she had a major gaffe last night.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Coward here. This is a young man with the ultimate bet on yourself story.
By the way, how do you get Colin Coward out of that? Cedric Coward. Colin Coward. By the way, for those who don't know, I worked with Colin in Portland. There's an irony there because he got drafted by Portland, later got traded to Memphis. But I did drive time and Colin did middays when we were both in Portland. And you couldn't tell Colin anything because I was in this cubicle and I'd be working and it was adjacent to the studio. And Colin would come walking out and he'd go, "What are you guys talking about today?" And I would tell him, I'd go, "Well, we're going to talk about this and I'm going to angle it like that." And you'd go, "Cool." And then he had such ADD that maybe he'd get back into the studio and he'd start talking for a minute. And then he would steal my topic because we'd have the speakers in the bullpen area where we were all working. And I would turn to my co-host and go, "He's just stealing my topic that I'm going to talk about like a half hour." Like there's lots of topics to talk about. Like, okay, the NBA draft was last night of the Giants was a game. You're not stealing that topic, but it's the way that I was going to angle it. And he's completely stealing it. And I'd go in during the break and I go, "Dude, I just said that's how I was going to angle this in like a half hour. What are you doing?" And he would forget. He would like, "Oh, that's where you told me that. Yeah. Sorry about that." Like, just like, "Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me." Anyway, so you had to be careful what you would tell him. But yeah, we worked together in Portland. But I don't know how you get, like, I don't know what's in your head. There's a thousand different things. She's really good at her job. And then you pull one of those things where it's like, "Oh, I just felt really bad for her. That's all. I felt really bad." Because it was like, "Oh, come on, man. You can't have that." Glitches on your face.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Coward here.
Moses Moody. By the way, if Reese Davis doesn't pop in on Kendrick Perkins saying Moody, if he doesn't pop in there, I mean, he probably says Moody Moody five more minutes. Like, finally, Reese Davis pops in there and goes, "Moses Moody, slow down." Anyway, I don't want to group group Malika Andrews in with just the jackassery that was the draft last night. But I just, honestly, I don't know what you think. Give me your thoughts. Again, if you're in the chat room, I'd love to know what you think. If you're watching later, hit me up in the chat room or at John Lund Radio on X. They do such a good job on the draft, I think. Dun, 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 dun. Like, just, you know, when they play the ring and all that kind of stuff, and there's an NFL pick in, and they just do such a good job, and they have a bunch of analysts on there. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's pretty good. And they've got it down, and they've been doing it for a long time. And so no matter what you think of Mel Kiper or thought of Todd McShay or the different people that they use, the NFL or the ESPN and the NFL Network, by the way, they're dialed in when it comes to the NFL draft. They're really good, especially pandemic year. I mean, that was awesome. You know, guys sitting at their houses and all that kind of stuff. It was great. I mean, they do a great job on location, on TV. Like, the whole thing is so well done. And then in the NBA, it's almost like the day before the draft, they go, "Oh, shit. We have a draft tomorrow. What are we going to do? Well, first of all, we're going to put Stephen A. on it." Well, of course we are. That's a no-brainer. Let's put Kendrick Perkins on the other end. Neither of those guys know anything, but they'll yell really loud. That'll be really, really cool. And then let's get Bob Myers in there, but let's not let Bob Myers talk because, you know, he was a GM and, you know, ran basketball operations. That would be stupid. Let's not let him talk. And then, like, it's just, you're just sitting there going, I mean, Jay Billis wants to melt his face off. Jay Billis is like, "This is what I do. Like, I know these guys. I can give you great and be entertaining at the same time." By the way, Jay Billis can entertain, tell you about a guy very intricately, what he can do, what he can't. I mean, it's really, really good, but he doesn't have a minute to even say anything because those two jackasses have to scream and yell. And it's awful. I mean, honestly, it is like they just remembered it was the NBA draft the day before. It's ridiculous. The only people who have any credibility, Jay Billis does a great job with it. Malika Andrews, outside of the Colin Coward gaffe, does a really nice job of traffic cop and everything around. Shams is awesome when it comes to news and trades and things that could possibly happen. That's it. And I get it, man. You're trying to skirt that line between, "Oh God, we got to make this entertaining," and because people don't know. It's not like the NFL draft. Every guy that's picked, especially in that first round, "I know that guy, know that guy, know that guy, know that guy, know that guy." It's harder than ever. I mean, look, most people's knowledge of the NBA draft last night was one player, Cooper Flagg. And then there it was like, who, what, huh? because it's a bunch of one and doneers. Like, it shocks me that Rutgers has two players in the top five and they sucked last year. And the biggest intrigue of the draft was this guy, Ace Bailey from Rutgers, doesn't work out for anybody. The speculation is for some reason he wanted to go to Washington or Brooklyn, being from the East, and Utah at five is like, sorry, man, you're coming here. And when the kid got drafted, his face was like, oh my God. Like, it's supposed to be the happiest moment of your life. And he's just like, God, I didn't, like, he declined an invitation to work out for Utah. He's like, no. And Utah's like, we're taking him. And they asked him, like, no, we're not trading him. Like, that was the best part of the draft. Like, I knew Cooper Flagg was getting taken number one. There was no intrigue in that. When the commissioner went up to the podium and said, forward from Rutgers, Ace Bailey, the Utah Jazz, and he put on that was a terrible, by the way, draft hats were terrible in, like, cursive. Put that draft hat on that he'll never wear again. He was like, oh. And you could just see it. It was going through his head, like, I'm going to Utah. I'm going to Utah where food is stopped being served at 10 and alcohol doesn't get served. Alcohol stops at midnight and beers 3-2. Have a good time out there. No, I lived there. I enjoyed it. You just better, you know, outdoor activities, but your contract says you can't ski. So I don't know what you're going to do. No idea what you're going to do. All right. Let's hit a couple of supers up. That was your NBA draft report. Well, there'll be, yeah, we got to, I got to get with Dom. I say this every week. I got to get with Dom because his stuff is so good. He sent me the merch from the PMP from the Metallica show. That was awesome, man. That was good stuff. That was really good. By the way, hi, Fuji. Bottom of the pint. Absolutely. I was supposed to leave town. I'm not leaving town. So I'll get with Krug today. I'll hit him up with a text. He was in New York last week for Devers' Friday debut. So I have not talked to Krug, but I will get with him. But I believe we're going to do something because he was in New York last week. I was supposed to be out of town this week, but I'm not going to be. Give Stephen A. a break. He's busy working on his solitaire game. Well done. Well done. And you know what's funny about it is they don't care. ESPN is just like, as long as it's publicity, no publicity is bad publicity, because they gave him grief about it and stuff, even on ESPN and other channels and stuff, and Screaming A got all pissed off. It's like, dude, you're at the NBA Finals. You struggle analyzing games anyway, and you've got a halftime show coming up, and you're playing solitaire. I'm sorry. And again, look, I'm a bit old school in this way. If I was a person paying him for ESPN, I'd have no problem picking up the phone and going, bro, what are you doing? Like, we're paying you a lot of money to analyze basketball games, and that is a bad look. But they don't do that. They're like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, that's funny. It's like, yeah, that's really funny. It's great. Okay, what else do we have on the agenda for episode 176? We did NFL versus NBA draft coverage. Kuminga Miami rumors. I talked about that. I showed you. Please not Wiggins back. Please, please, please. I got nothing against Andrew Wiggins. It's just the day that he left, the day that he was traded for Jimmy Butler, I was like, thank God. Like, there's just a lot of drama around that guy. And I tell you this all the time. I just need to know. I call it in the bank. You know this. I need to know if you're good or bad, just so I can classify you. Okay, you're not a good player. Okay, fine. You're a really good player. Great. I don't know what I'm going to get from you. No, 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 no. I don't want to not know. I don't want 20 points one night and 5 the next. I can't do that because I don't know what to do with that. I'm setting a rotation or whatever. Oh, I hope this guy can play good tonight. And that's Andrew Wiggins. I like the guy. Nothing against him. Real nice guy. But I don't know if I'm getting 5 points and really good defense, 20 points and no defense. Like, I just don't know night to night, day to day. And he's not a dog. Jimmy Butler's a dog, man. I want dogs. You know, the old cat dog thing. I want dogs. Arr, meow. I want dogs. And Andrew Wiggins isn't. That's just not his DNA. Talented through the roof. Could score 40 on a certain night and you go, wow, and defend and do all these different things. And then the next night is like, is he even on the court? I swear I saw him. Oh, he's over there. Okay. Just wasn't really doing anything. And he's not fired up. He's not going to lead. He's not going to hit a big shot. He's not what you need. I like the guy. But he's just, I don't want that. I don't want to not know. You know what I mean? That's just, I hate that. Kevin Durant, this story, let me move this down. My mouse is starting to give me some trouble, so I may have to cut the show short. But Let me share this screen with you really quick if I can. This thing is like, it's like robotic. It's starting to give away or something. Did this the other day on me. So I may, let me see if I can get this up here. This may be the final thing I could do on this. God dang it. There we go. Sorry, we're having technical issues. So I know Logan Murdoch, been on my show many, many times. Good writer. Does a good podcast as well. So this is where I'm going to agree with Kevin Durant for once, though. So Kevin Durant was upset because it was brought up by Logan Murdoch that essentially the reason why he didn't want to come back to the Warriors at the trade deadline was Steve Kerr, that he had an issue with Steve Kerr. And then we all know Kevin Durant. He's very sensitive, all these kind of different things. But then he fires back and he says, "We still on this? Obvious opportunity for Logan Murdoch to gain even more attention and try to revive his career by using my name in the Warriors. The audience is sick and tired of the same bullshit narrative. Be better, my man." I don't disagree with him there. And it's nothing against Logan Murdoch. It's just like, it's over, man. Who cares? Like, honestly. And I think it's someone misreading the market. And Logan Murdoch is from here. But the way we work in the Bay Area is, if you don't want to be here, that's a you problem. You're like, when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City, they get hurt by that. Smaller markets, I worked in Utah, I worked in Portland. Smaller markets take it personally if you want to leave their city. They get pissed. Sacramento. Cities like that get upset when you leave their city. Like, what? You know, because they're a smaller city, and so they have a little brother complex, and they get pissed, and they take it personally when you leave their market. We don't do that in the Bay Area. If you don't want to be here, that's a you problem, man. You made the mistake. It's great here. We have everything. Yeah, it's expensive, but you're drinking wine 1 second, you're in Tahoe the next minute, you're on the beach the next minute. There's so much to do here. It's enjoyable. We enjoy, you know, there's tons of things. After I get done with the show, yeah, I got a lot of work to do, but you know, the world is your oyster here. You can do so many different things. So if you don't want to be here, that's a you problem. That's our attitude in the Bay Area. So when Kevin Durant left, it was like, okay, you know, we wanted Kevin Durant to stay. They were winning championships, but he was good enough to say, okay, you know, I don't want you to be left with nothing. They fill that hole with D'Angelo Russell. They make a trade there. They get Wiggins. They get Kuminga in that trade. So look, if Kevin Durant didn't want to be here, we didn't scream and cry and bitch and moan and as a fan base or as sports fans and say, you know, most people just said, if Durant doesn't want to be here, that's a him problem. It's not a me problem. It's not our city. It doesn't reflect anything poorly on our city. It's just, that's him. He's, you know, he's weird. If someone doesn't want to be here, who's been here, then we go, the hell with him. We don't care. I don't need you. Go away. Whatever, man. This is the best place on earth to live. I mean, that's how people in the Bay Area think. So we don't get offended by it. So my point in saying this is that when it keeps getting brought up that this is why he left, you know, it was the Draymond Green thing. It was Steve Kerr. It was, you know what I think it is? And it's really, really simple. It's not overly complicated. And I don't think it's as complicated as this. And if it were, Kevin Durant would say, yeah, we just didn't see eye to eye. I mean, honestly, he would. Why Kevin Durant left is really simple. And it's the same reason he's going to Houston. He wants to find his own team that will be defined as his team. As stupid as this is, this is the social media era that we live in. It shouldn't matter, but to Kevin Durant, because he's so sensitive, it does. He wants to go onto his own team that can be considered his team. Now, he had his team in Oklahoma City, but he left it. Brooklyn could have been his team. I mean, he's a bigger star than James Harden or Kyrie Irving, but it just didn't work out. Phoenix could have been his team. They didn't win enough. Golden State was never going to be his team. That's why he left. He won two championships, and because he has rabbit ears, people were saying, it's not his team, though. It's Steph Curry's team. He's a hired gun. Like, he didn't like that. And so he said, you know what? I got to be out on my own. I got to find my team. So he went to Brooklyn. Could have been his team. Didn't win. Went to Phoenix. Could have been his team. Didn't win. Oklahoma City. Didn't win a championship. That was his team originally. So now he keeps hunting for a championship on his terms. That's what he wants. And he thinks in Houston, well, Fred VanVleet's not a bigger star than me. And Şengün is not a bigger star than me. Like, they're best players are not bigger stars than him. So if Houston were to win a championship, that would be Kevin Durant's team won a championship. It was never Kevin Durant's team won a championship here, and he's never won it anywhere else. So he's looking for that elusive, my team, my terms, my title. That's what Kevin Durant is looking for. He was never going to get it here. He was never going to outshine Steph Curry. He was always going to be the at best a Robin. And he thinks to himself, I'm Kevin Durant, man. I'm one of the best scorers of all time. I'm not a Robin to anybody. He got the championships. He, you know, all those things worked out. But I knew when he put gold shovel into the ground for Chase Center that he wasn't even going to be around here to enjoy it. I knew it. I knew he wasn't going to stay here that long. He was a hired gun. And he got frustrated because this was Steph Curry's team. Always was going to be. Steph Curry, as long as he plays, is always going to be Batman. And Kevin Durant, as great as you are, and he won a couple of, you know, finals MVP trophies, you were the best player in those series, but you were Robin. That's what you're going to be. And so he went out on the elusive hunt after being on his own team in Oklahoma City, but not winning it. Winning it here, but not getting the credit he felt like he deserved. Always playing second fiddle to Steph Curry. Then he tried in Brooklyn. That would have been his team, no title. Tried in Phoenix. Would have been his team, no title. Now he's going to Houston going, wait a minute, I'm the biggest star. If we win it, which is his last best chance, it will be considered my team, my title. That's what he's looking for. So it's not because, and again, nothing's absolute. So Durant leaves, maybe in small part it's Kerr. Maybe in small part it's, you know, a number of different things. You know this is how life works. Generally speaking, nothing is absolute. It's never just one thing. Why did you quit that job? Well, maybe it just, I hated my boss. Sometimes there's that. And I hated my boss, couldn't handle it. Normally, when things change in life, why'd you get divorced? Why'd you get, you know, why'd you do this? Why'd you change jobs? Why'd you, whatever. And there's about 20 different things that of why. You know, it's never just, you know, okay, maybe somebody cheating on you. Okay, sometimes it's absolute. How come you got divorced? My wife cheated on me or my husband cheated on me. Okay. Not okay, but you know what I mean? Maybe sometimes it is one thing, but a lot of times it's like 25 things that add up and you finally go, I've had it. That's generally how it works. So I'm not saying that Kevin Durant maybe didn't see eye to eye with Steve Kerr all the time, but by the fact that he's adamantly saying, you know, that's not it. But the bigger picture to me here is who cares? I don't care how Kevin Durant left. We don't look at it like that. Like Oklahoma City for years and years and years, now they won a title, so it doesn't matter to them. But they can speculate why Durant left their little city, and they can get offended by it. I'm not. If you leave the Bay Area, that's a you issue. I don't care. Go live your life somewhere else. It's not going to be as good. I mean, that's our attitude. We don't get mad when people leave town. It's like, you screwed up, bro. That's your fault. So for once, I agree with Durant. That's where we are on episode 176, near the bottom here. I don't know if I have a caboose for you today. I thought I had one. Maybe I was going to play that Malika Andrews as the caboose. That's probably what I was thinking of doing, but I didn't. I think we've played everything else on the screen here. Yeah, we have. Modi Moody. Colin Cowherd taken by the Portland Trailblazers. The send we talked about today. The Giants lose to the Fish. Ninth inning send. Runners in scoring position. That was probably why Matt Williams did it, 8 for 59 in the last eight, but you had a left fielder playing very close, even though it was your fastest runner. There was only one out. Duvall, not great the last couple of two times out. Birdsong today, very important start. NBA draft, Cooper Flagg and everybody else. Ace Bailey's story was interesting, goes to Utah, never worked out for him. NBA versus NFL draft coverage. Kuminga's got some Miami rumors. Please not Wiggins back. Agree with Durant for once, random things, and I already blew that caboose pistol on the Cowherd thing. Should I just do that one more time?
This is a young man with the ultimate bet on yourself. So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Cowherd here.
Oof. So he's like Colin's like a 60-year-old broadcaster. I don't think that the Blazers took him in the first round. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. So there you go. All right. Again, thanks to Supers today from Tommy, Fuji, Brock. Fuji had another one there. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Really appreciate that. Always appreciate that. Make sure that before you get out of here, please hit us with a like this morning. That would be absolutely tremendous. Thank you for that. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. That is where we're coming from, although there are all sorts of different platforms. If you'd come over to John Lund Unleashed, and please give us a like, subscribe, and turn those alerts on, as well as the Bay Area Sports Collective, that big B in the corner. Thanks for watching on Facebook today, LinkedIn, X, at John Lund Radio. That's where we are on X. I'm there often, so you can hit me with questions, comments, and thoughts, as well as right underneath the show. Anything we discuss today, you do not have to agree with me. That's part of this show that we do. you said this and that's wrong and this and that. That's cool, man. I love that you agree. It's fine that you disagree. I certainly will not get pissed off at that. So there it is. What else do we have today? Anything else? The Florida. I know Florida news is always for the caboose. I apologize for that. I should have just looked up something in Florida. We could have done something better. Anything else today? Yeah. Durant is the hired gun, man. Hi, Antonio. Yeah, for sure. And he, that's what I mean. Maybe Steve Kerr had something to do with it, but my overall thought is I don't care anymore. I don't care that he left, and it's been so many years and nobody here does either. Like, nobody cares. Like, you left, man. We won a championship after you left. Like, so what, man? It snows a lot in Utah. It's in the mountains, but here's the difference. If you live on the East Coast or something, or I lived in Detroit, it's ugly, dark, dirty, wet, nasty snow. In places like Utah, Colorado, it's like Tahoe. It snows, it's light, fluffy, great skiing snow, and then the sun comes out. Utah has over 300 Sundays per year. I mean, it's amazing. So it'll snow, and then all of a sudden it's really, really nice. And I lived up the mountains. You throw skis in your car, you're on the mountain in 15 minutes, and it's sunny, and the snow is awesome. So it's not like, oh, man, I got to drive through the snow. There's an element of that, don't get me wrong. But literally, it'll snow, and then it's like a sunny day, and it's unbelievable. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's actually pretty cool. But yeah, if I'm Ace Bailey and young guys, and plus it's in your contract, you can't ski. I mean, the kid's what, 18? 18 year old in Utah? Dude, not a lot. There ain't a lot, man. I'm just saying. Man. Let's see, Austin area. Yep, somebody talk. I don't know why you're talking about Austin, but I interviewed for a job in Austin, ended up tearing it down, but man, I wanted to take it so bad. Just didn't work out. They took me out on Lake Travis on this boat, and all these houses were on this thing. And they're like, hey, what do you think? I'm like, this is unbelievable. And, you know, it's University of Texas, so there's women around. We had lunch on the lake. It was unreal. Just couldn't make it work, dotting I's, crossing T's, but it was really cool. Somebody said, for somebody who said that, you say you don't want to care about Durant, but you're always talking about him. Shake my head. No, you're 100% right. I guess my point in talking about him is I don't care how he left. I don't care that he left, and it's been so many years that I don't know why people are bringing it up. I guess that's what I'm saying, and Durant brought it up today, and I don't often agree with Kevin Durant because I think he's overly sensitive about things and should just leave social media alone, but he doesn't. And so you could have an egg avatar with 7 followers, and if he sees something that you wrote about him, he'll respond to you. I mean, it's just trippy. He's just got really thin skin, and at this point, it's like, dude, you got nothing left to prove to anybody. But what he's essentially saying is, look, I don't have a beef with Steve Kerr. That's essentially what he's saying. And I agree with him because I think it's wanting to be on his own team, winning a championship on his terms, which he didn't do here and hasn't done anywhere else, and has searched through the NBA, through the Skittles colors of uniforms, to try to do it. So anyway, that was my point in that. But you bring up a good point. Tunabomb, you bring up a good point too, which is, as far as KD is concerned, look, I like KD. But he does get hurt a lot. He can be a distraction. He's not exactly, and I know Papa would totally disagree with me on this, but as great as his talent is, he can be a pain in the ass. I mean, ask Draymond, ask Steve Kerr. Believe me, Steve Kerr said at the end of his tenure, remember this, that it wasn't a whole lot of fun with him around at the end. So it's not all roses with him. There's no question about it. All right, good stuff today. Thank you for hanging out for episode 176. Again, we will come back. Giants have a big game today. Got to get at least one from the Fish. Hayden Bergtong's got a big start. Got lots of stuff going on the Thursday night. Great show tomorrow. We'll have the Friday show. And as far as I know, we're going to do a bottom of the pint. If you're new around here, that is a live Friday night show during the San Francisco Giants game with Larry Kruger from the Krug Show. We drink beers, have fun. People hang out. It's a really good time. So make sure you hit me up tomorrow for the show at 9 a.m. Pacific and tomorrow night for Bottom of the Pint. Any questions, comments, thoughts, just hit them right here underneath the show or hit me up on X at John Lund Radio. Everybody have an amazing, amazing Thursday, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath.
Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!